Each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church, we offer an affirmation of our faith, always taken from God's Word, the Bible. This one from Colossians, the first chapter, ninth verse following. God fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and grow in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter of James, or the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word and a reminder that it's best to know what it is that we believe. You may have doubts about some things, but it's not helpful to dwell on your doubts or to live in doubt. Work through prayer and the Holy Spirit to live in faith. So today's message comes right out of the Bible study we just finished in the summer from the book of James, and the topic is the wisdom of God. The phrase wisdom of God appears in the New Testament 19 times. The word wisdom is used in the Bible over 100 times. But before we even talk about what wisdom is or its importance, and you could guess wisdom's importance if we simply look at the phrase, the wisdom of God. So before you decide that high school algebra was tough enough, let alone the wisdom of God, you want to hear James's book when James wrote. In the fifth verse of the very first chapter, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Did you hear that? Wisdom from God, ask God, who gives generously to all. God will give you wisdom if you ask for it. It's that simple. God's wisdom is available to you, assuming that you call Jesus Christ your Savior. Now, wisdom does not come to us, the believers, as a block of knowledge. Wisdom might not come directly from the Bible. Can you hear that? Wisdom might not come in direct quotes from God's Word. And I say that because the Bible shows us even Satan can misuse God's Word to bring on temptation. So wisdom may have to come through the Holy Spirit and prayer in helping us hear and to know and discern the Word of God. And wisdom can help us do what wisdom understands. Again, I hope you understand that wisdom is not a block of knowledge in today's language. Wisdom is not downloadable. Wisdom is not a file of information. Wisdom is more a lifestyle. Wisdom is a way of doing things. You might describe a person as having wisdom, but that usually does not mean that they know right answers to right questions. The game of Trivial Pursuit is not about wisdom. That game is about factoids, trivia. Generally, we do not consider trivia to be wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see through the trivia to what is important or essential. We don't usually claim that game show winners have wisdom. We don't say they are wise. Often game show winners are just faster with the buzzer. No, we often describe people whom we believe to be wise, describe them not as having wisdom, but as being wise. We use a to-be verb, a verb of being. She is very wise, we would say. Or to say, I am wise to you, is not just knowledge about another person, but saying I am wise to you means being aware of influences on that person, or to know that that person is hiding something which results in that person's ulterior motives, and those ulterior motives may result in behavior that is not sincere or helpful. That I am wise to you is an awareness. Proverbs 29:11 states, fools are quick to express their anger, but wise people are patient and control themselves. In this case, wisdom is not expressing something. A wise person does not quickly express the depth of one's anger. And James has a statement about that, that those expressions of anger do not work the righteousness of God. You see, wisdom is not the same thing as having knowledge. Wisdom is a way to be. Maybe this is the way to put it. It doesn't help to be full of wisdom if you are not wise. Does that help? It doesn't help to be full of wisdom if you are not wise. James even suggests the opposite, that what is wise is not claiming to have knowledge already, but rather to be wise is to be humble enough to ask God for direction. That's what it is to be wise. Part of the problem, as James sees it, is that the reason people are not helped by God is that they do not ask God for help. Ask God for wisdom. Jesus told parables about the wise and the foolish. The Apostle Paul warns the churches in Rome that people, Christians, should not consider themselves wise in and of themselves. The apostle further reminds the people in churches in Corinth that they were not called by Jesus because they were wise. Rather, Jesus would make them wise. His Spirit, working salvation and gifts for building up the church. The apostle also stated in Colossians chapter 1, which you have heard, for this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The apostle states you can have knowledge of God's will, but the apostle also prays that the church will be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The apostle will bless the congregation with the following blessing: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But express that same word of Christ in teaching and admonishing with all wisdom. One scholar suggests here that since it is the word of Christ, the gospel itself, which is encouraged to dwell in us, That is not the wisdom. The wisdom is in expressing the truth of Christ's indwelling word. The wisdom is the restraint and seriousness of teaching and admonishing, which, by the way, is done by all the members of the church, one to the other. Wisdom is not found necessarily in the pastor alone or in the elders alone. Not in the elders only. Wisdom is available to all believers. However, in receiving wisdom, there is a requirement to share that wisdom, isn't there? The Bible is certain that the truly foolish person knows the truth, but fails to apply it to their own lives. Many people who go to college and many who attend theological seminaries will speak of their professors as living in ivory towers. The ivory towers may, in fact, have originally referred to Oxford University, whose towers, when some of them were originally built, appeared white. And back in the day, if you lived at Oxford, you had to be smart, be knowledgeable, but what good does the knowledge do anyone in the real world? Does it help you know whether to plant potatoes or beans? Does it tell you how deep to plant them? Should you wait for the full moon to plow? Or how about a more modern example? Speaking of biology, if you have extensive knowledge of sexually transmitted disease, will that keep you chaste? Will it result in sexual purity? The answer, in case you're wondering, is no, it will not. Knowledge of sexually transmitted disease will not, in and of itself, make you chaste or sexually pure. Only wisdom, the application of greater knowledge. The patriarch Joseph, he of the many colored coats in the book of Genesis, was tempted by his master's wife, tempted, even invited to have sex with her. Joseph, who had no knowledge, and certainly no modern knowledge of sexual disease, says no, it would be a sin against God. Joseph says, that's not knowledge at work, that's wisdom. A recognition of a larger picture, recognition of a relationship with the Almighty God. A relationship with the Almighty God, even though Joseph himself had been betrayed by his Hebrew brothers and barely escaped death, only to be sold into slavery, he clung to that relationship to God, even though he was sold and carried into a heathen land to be the slave of a heathen. Joseph can remain true to God, but not because of knowledge. And that relationship to God through the dreams that God provided and provided meaning to, Joseph would be declared second only to Pharaoh to lead Egypt through the crisis that would soon befall them all, resulting in famine. Pharaoh himself will say of Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Even the heathens could recognize this wisdom. Enough to make an imprisoned slave vice president of Egypt, or I guess that would make Joseph vice Pharaoh, wouldn't it? Because of wisdom. James's letter testifies that wisdom is a test of living faith. James wrote, the wisdom that is from above is full of mercy and good fruits, willing to yield, that is, humble before God. That is, asking the Lord and listening to the Lord and then doing and going where the Lord leads. Wisdom cannot do otherwise. The wisdom from God cannot do otherwise. In our verses today from the first chapter of James's letter, James is speaking to a context of suffering, going through trials, any trial. If one's faith is being tested, then by all means turn to the Lord and ask. The book we used for the Bible study by John MacArthur stated that the words, "let him ask," are really in the command form. Ask God. It reminds me of the church member who asked me to pray for them, and I said I'd be glad to, and then I asked, "Will you be praying too?" I will ask God. Will you be asking God? Jesus said, "Ask, seek, knock." And Jesus added, "For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And James is in full agreement, adding that the Lord responds generously. This wisdom is available to you from the Holy Spirit. Don't make it your prayer one time to the Lord. Don't make your prayer only a seasonal thing. Before Easter or before Christmas. Make prayer and the prayer for wisdom a lifestyle. Proverbs 28:26 states, "Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are safe, are kept safe." Safe? Safe from criminals? Safe from trouble? No. Safe in the Lord. Amen.